Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. I'm here with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and we are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How do you let go of control when the demands of success require strict discipline? I'm talking commitment. I'm talking order. But is there something deeper that drives a person to the ongoing compulsion? Well, let's just say even obsession to control. Are there wounds, deep wounds that affect men and women today that are the actual roots of this behavior? Well, you decide for yourself as we present a two-part series entitled Letting Go. On the 17th anniversary of Grace Bible Church Pearlside, a couple by the name of Kimo and Debbie Piseno were featured by a video to show how Christ can bring hope and healing out of broken lives, a broken marriage, and broken families. It was introduced by Pastor Norman Nakanishi. Here's a chance for you to hear their story. And then we'll be back with Kimo and Debbie.
There's nothing worse when you look at the word you love and there's no more love there.
Kimo and I, we've known each other since I was 7. I think you were 8. We actually lived across the street. Definitely exciting, you know, it's that, with your childhood sweetheart, you know, you're thinking all that stuff.
I was a Marine for 6 years. I was a primary marksmanship instructor, a water safety survival instructor, and I was a squad leader. Spent some time in the Gulf, spent many sleepless nights, sleep deprivation, food and water deprivation. You know, I can do without those things to accomplish my assigned task or mission, yeah.
And he left, I'll never forget this, on my birthday, and I was 7 months pregnant, and he's off to war. You know, it was a lot of emotion, you know, excited, I'm going to be a mom, but here's my husband, off at war, don't know when he's coming back.
I was with the Department of Corrections. I was with the Investigative Services Unit, the gang coordinator, dealing with high-profile cases and inmates. It's a pretty prestigious job within the department. Became a sergeant in the Department of Corrections. It was pretty a fast rise for me.
Kimo definitely has a demanding job working shift work.
And all seemed to be going very well for us. It's taken years for a lot of this to unfold. At a very young age, I had been sexually molested for about a 5-6 year period. I was constantly seeking acceptance, driving for perfection to do well in the Marine Corps and in the Department of Corrections. I had suffered so much pain. Physical pain was really nothing, but I found myself addicted to it. I would literally train longer and longer, trying to see what could happen to me. Later I discovered it was just another manifestation of rage.
After, you know, constantly, you know, trying to ask Kimo what's going on, you know, and just getting no feedback, you know, I felt like I was screaming out to him.
And so I kept it all in. I wouldn't share with her.
We couldn't even talk anymore. I think we were talking at each other and we're not listening to each other anymore. It's one thing for me to go through this. My boys, you know, they didn't put themselves in the situation. I felt like it was my job to take them out of the environment that we were in. Yeah. And that's when I just decided we got to separate. We have to be apart because this isn't healthy anymore.
There's nothing louder than the silence of an empty home. One day the Lord came to me very strong, and he said, to pray to soften Debbie's heart. I just said, okay.
Well, I think God softened my heart. And, you know, it was revealed that day at Milani High School track. My boys are running track. I think it was for summer fun. And they're taking every heat, running like crazy. And I'm like, this is where, you know, our reward as parents was supposed to be, you know, because Kimo and his sports and how he's trained our boys. I said, this is it. Kimo needs to be here. This is what he deserves to see in life.
And then out of the blue, my sister had called me and said, Debbie wants to talk to you. I called her, and the first things I said to Debbie was, I love you.
So basically, I told him, come home. Come home now. And you were home within what, week, 2 weeks?
No, less than a week.
I basically said, you need to come home now.
She called me home and I listened.
We both knew God was speaking to us, and why wait any longer?
We were divorced for 5 years. What do they say? Controlled chaos. The boys have a strong passion for football. And it's interesting because I wasn't home to give them that. And yet they had it. But see, I understood that I failed. I ruined my life. That God is not responsible for that. I should have went straight either to the church, to my friends in Christ, and find strength. It wasn't until I let completely go all that time to completely allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. And you know, God did it. God did it.
Well, you know,
amazing.
Some stories, when you hear it and you hear about it, you think, you know, there's so much going in on there that we need to make sure that we've got time to unpack.
Yes.
Unpack the story. You know, this first part, we've got such a huge military presence here in Hawaii. And, of course, this nation with all our military service men and women and families. I think God has positioned you to really relate to them and be able to speak to them, or God speak to them through you and your life story because of the things that you've gone through. Now, Kimo, you were a Marine, and then also, Debbie, I just found out you were part of the Air National Guard.
Yes.
Okay, so both serving our country, but you said you grew up right across from each other, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, both our fathers were Marines, career Marines. How old was I? 8? You're 7-ish. She lived across the street from us. Both our fathers worked at Camp Smith and, you know, lived in Manana, in Pearl City, and base housing. And so, you know, the military is great in what they do for the dependents and the children. And especially in the 70s, you know, we usually just stayed on base. There were so many programs for us. And all of us military kids just, you know, played a lot of different sports together, and we got along great. And with her living across the street, you know, I was compelled to flirt with her at a young age. But yeah, it started then. Her mom even tried to keep her away from me at a young age, yeah?
Yes. She would send me away to summer fun outside of our area.
Really?
Because she didn't want me to spend all summer with him.
Oh, that Kimo boy.
Yeah.
Now, Debbie, where did you tell us about your parents? And, you know, your dad was in the Marines, but what's your background?
Sure. My dad's from Alabama, and my mom is from Okinawa. So, obviously, my dad got stationed in Okinawa, met my mom, and brought her to the States. Actually, grew up in the South. I was born in Virginia. I have a sister born in Tennessee and one in Georgia. So we actually moved to Hawaii, I think it was in about 76. And, you know, I moved here with a Southern accent.
Really?
So, you know,
yes.
I had to assimilate into the new environment.
I mean, to think, Alabama. So she's a Alabama Kinawan.
Yeah.
Alabama Nawan.
That's very true.
With the Okinawan accent, with the Alabama
yeah.
accent, Southern accent, with the ability to speak Hogang, the dialect of the Okinawan.
And
people.
You know, being a military dependent, we were used to that. seeing the anomalies, you know, a Hapa Hawli girl with a southern accent. Right?
Yeah.
You see, and it's the one beautiful thing about people in the service and their children. You learn to make friends fast. You learn to adapt. And to your situation, and you just learn to appreciate those friendships, yeah. And so we learned that at an early age. Mm-hmm.
And of course, Kimo was known as the one local kid
on base,
right? He was the one Hawaiian
kid.
Okay,
I'm looking at you, brother, a Hawaiian man right here. Okay, so
let me tell you that.
How did that all happen?
Okay, my father, Marine, was stationed in Lulule. On the west side, and he met my mother. My mother lived in Nanakuli. And my oldest brother was born here. I, because of the military, was born in North Carolina.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm a Tar Heel by birth. And fortunately for us, you know, my father was stationed here in Hawaii quite often. So we were able to keep our ties with home and really learn of our home and our heritage. However, when he retired in 1980, we moved to California, where he's from, because of the economy, et cetera, et cetera. And so I fell out of touch with Debbie. We kept in touch for a couple of months because we were boyfriend and girlfriend by whatever terms is. And we fell apart. However, my whole high school career, I always thought about her. So when I had joined the Marine Corps, and I was very fortunate to get stationed back home.
Wow. Mm.
I searched her out the very next day upon arrival. And I remembered the dad's first name and found their name in the phone book, called them up, and it was their house. But she was in Texas at tech school. And I waited. A couple months later, she came home, and we never parted from there, yeah. Until our divorce. But definitely... it was something that I wanted. It was something that I pursued her, you know. As a matter of fact, I had orders. I had two separate orders. One was to be in Marine Corps Force Reconnaissance, and I had orders to a place. I was asking the guy at the desk, hey, what are those? Because they were my old orders. What are those two? He says, K-Bay. What's K-Bay? This was when I was in California. He goes, I'm not sure. He looked it up. He goes, hey, that's in Hawaii. And I said, forget those other orders. I gave up Special Forces to come home to pursue Debbie. And, you know, God ordained it and made a way for us. And, you know, you'll hear later on how I ruined that.
Yeah. Well, the important thing today is that you're together.
Yeah. Yes, praise the Lord.
The fact that you're here is a marvelous testament of the restorative power of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody today is in a place where they're separated with their spouse and their hearts are broken,
mm-hmm.
and filled with rage, anger, frustration, confusion, mm-hmm. feeling just a whole complex combination of feelings, and they're very deep and hard and hot, these feelings. But you also are able to testify of the ability to live in the military life and relate, having grown up in families. Well, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and I'm here with Kimo and Debbie Piseno and my co-host Martin Arinaga. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about what it was like to part from each other. They were still married, but to say goodbye when your husband is leaving. And how... Oh, okay. 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 Thanks. When we come back from our break... I'm here with Kimo and Debbie Piseno and my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. And when we come back from our break, we'll talk more about the way that God works in lives and how he works in the lives of people who have dedicated themselves to military service. And then What does it mean when, and how do you work through saying goodbye to a spouse? Maybe even when you're like 7 months pregnant, and maybe like when it's your birthday and you have to say goodbye. Not knowing when you'll see each other again. Where do you get comfort from that? And how to make it through times that are just often indescribable. When we come back, more with Kimo and Debbie Piseno. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He's a member of the United States Marine Special Forces. He was recruited to play football at the University of Southern California. A real leader of leaders. I'm talking about Kimo Piseno. He's here with his wife, Debbie. Debbie was a member of the Air National Guard. She now works in IT systems as a systems analyst there with Chevron. But and they're parents, too. Parents of some kids that have really excelled in athletics, particularly the sport of football. But they were together growing up as children there on the Marine base. And then they eventually got married, but they went through some tough times. And that's the marvel of the story that we're here to talk to you about. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. And if you're tuning in right now, you may have caught the tail end of the last segment and you're wondering, hey, you know, can I get the rest of the show? I you know, something's connecting with me here. I'm clicking here. Absolutely. Go ahead and download it at thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also want to say mahalo to Dr. Calvin Oishi for his generous partnership with us to make this program available to you, and also to our other sponsors and partners. And for you, if you are getting something out of this and you say, hey, I want to push this program forward, I want to make sure this can keep going, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, click our partners tab, and you can find out how to partner with us in this program.
Well, Kimo and Debbie, I mean, just hearing your stories is so encouraging. But, you know, Your parents were in the military, and somehow they have influenced you both because both of you have gone into a military career. How did that happen?
I think just being exposed to the military family, the organization, and seeing how dedicated the men and women are, you're almost compelled to do it, to give it a shot. Even with my dad saying, no, I don't want you to do it, because there's a lot of hardships. And so for a lot of military fathers and mothers that are going through those hardships, they don't want their children to have to go through that. But, my brief college football career, I always felt that compelled to serve my country. So I did, and my father was a very tough man. He was a chief drill instructor at San Diego Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Vietnam vet. So being raised under that man, when I went through boot camp, it was very easy.
You had boot camp early on.
Yes, I had boot camp my whole life. Most definitely.
Well, it's interesting because at times like that, you think if a child experienced those things, they would run in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. But the influence of your father in the sacrifice and, honoring and our country by serving you mm-hmm. had a big influence on your life that mm-hmm. you actually followed in his footsteps.
Mm-hmm. And I think being raised here in Hawaii, you see the pillboxes up on the mountains and so forth, and the Hawaiian, the local people here, how well they receive the veterans and the people that are still serving and so forth, going to Punch Bowl, and we live it, we see it. There's been a war here, we were attacked here, and it was spoken in elementary school and so on and so forth. So you want to be a part of that, you want to serve, you want to give back.
Wow. And Debbie, is so interesting because your dad was in the Marines, but he didn't want you to become a Marine.
Correct.
So you went into the Air National Guard. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So it was, right after high school, I decided I actually wanted to go active duty. And my dad, near the end of his 30-year career, he actually was stationed back in Georgia. So we had moved off the military base into the Waipahu area. And so he said, with him being away, he didn't want me to go active duty and not be home with my mom and sisters. So I decided to do the Air National Guard, where you go for training, boot camp, tech school, but you come home and it's like reserve. You only do it once a month. And I've always believed that, growing up in Hawaii was really unique for me, because I did not realize I was Okinawan or Japanese until we moved here. I didn't know we were really any different. I think just being at that age in the South, I didn't realize we were different. So throughout my high school, and then I went to HPU and stuff, I had this real burning desire about doing papers on, the military's presence in Hawaii and what the benefits were. Because of that time, I know there was a big sovereignty thing, and so I was all for, the military's presence, and I wanted everybody to at least do 4 years. I thought, because it propels you, especially, at that young 18, 17 age, the leadership you learn, the discipline, the order.
Right.
So I've been a strong believer in it.
That's great.
Well, you got together, and but I was moved when I heard that. How did you feel? Okay, so your birthday, 7 months pregnant, mm-hmm. and you got to say goodbye to your husband. What did you go through?
It's hard to even describe in words. I was scared. I'm pregnant. This is our first child, and at that time, when Kimo and I got married, we were already married, I think, about 3 years, and he was near the end of his current enlistment, where he was a lifeguard on K Bay. So it was the easy life. He was going surfing every day. So this is when we decided, okay, we'll start a family now. You're not going away to Okinawa every 6 months. We've kind of gotten out of that. And we finally committed to that, and, I was pregnant, and here's this war starting. So he gets pulled back into, the infantry, and I'm like, okay, wait, we said we were going to have a baby now because you're a lifeguard. This works, but now you're going away. And thankfully, praise the Lord that my mom, prayer warrior, she definitely helped carry me through that and pray for me, because I was devastated. I was truly devastated by it. I was really scared. I didn't have Kimo to go through Lamaze classes and do all that. So, I kind of struggled through labor and all of that without having chemo here.
You mentioned that your mom was praying for you. I want to make sure we touch on this. Maybe just go into it right now about your faith. You know, what Christ has been such an important part of your lives. And at the same time, you know, he's been with you through a journey of, I mean, we heard early on in that video clip that we heard, you know, you prayed. So you mentioned prayer. You mentioned your mom praying for you. So somehow Christ is a part of your life. How did you come to know the Lord, both you, Debbie, and Kimo?
Well, obviously, with my dad being from Alabama, we grew up in a Baptist church environment. But just doing, if you will, I don't want to say ritual, but just, you know, going to church Sunday using the hymn book. But there wasn't a personal relationship with the Lord. And honestly, it was when I was pregnant with Kaipo, our oldest, when my mom just, she turned on fire. And, you know, her and my dad were going through some struggles themselves. And she just gave it all up to the Lord. And it was during that time that I really developed my personal relationship with the Lord, because I saw how he was carrying me. And it was through, you know, the eyes of my mom, I saw what she was going through and how she was, you know, happy and, you know, how is she dealing with this? And then she's being there for me through it all. And that's...
And for me, it started off in a young age. My father had a Catholic upbringing. We would go to a Pentecostal church on the other side of the island. And but there was no real relationship with the Lord. It was more of a spectacle. And when I was in high school, I met a man who was my powerlifting coach. And he was such an easygoing man, but just very powerful physically. And there was a balance there, and I wanted that. And he helped me, you know, go to some Christian camps. And that's where I was saved my senior year, accepted the Lord as my Savior, my Lord and Savior. And but, you know, trying to incorporate that life into my existing life doesn't work that way, but that's what I did. And so trying to please my earthly father and so on and so forth, I fell away. And then as a Marine, you become very self-reliant. The traits I learned from my father were just exaggerated to the nth degree as a Marine. I looked at what the Marine Corps asked of me, and I did it and went beyond from what was asked of me physically, what was asked of me on the rifle range, what was asked, swimming, everything. I was at the top of my class and everything.
And we're talking the Marine Special Forces, the reconnaissance, right?
Yes.
So Marine is one thing. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about being a Marine recon.
You know, I went through in-doc and all that, which is take forever to talk about, but it's excruciating. But it was something I wanted to do. And I left that, like I said, because of my orders that I still had, and I ended up coming with a regular line unit here. When I got to the line unit here, I was pulled aside because of certain abilities I had. And within our own unit, we had our own special task force. And, you know, we trained differently than everybody else. We thought we were better than everybody else because we were better than everybody else. We prided ourselves on that. And I left Jesus in the closet. I always knew he was there, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. You know, I called upon him when I need a little bit of help and so forth. But one thing Marines do and all service members do, especially when it comes in time of war, is they put on a shell to protect themselves. They don't allow themselves to cry. They don't allow themselves to show any emotions, particularly with the incident where Debbie, by the way, my rotation to go overseas all the time, it always fell around her birthday. I was never home for any of her birthdays.
Wow.
I was never there for her. So then here, lo and behold, when the first Gulf War came up, Desert Shield, I believe, it was the first time I was going to be home on her birthday, and we were really excited. Wow, at least I'll be home for your birthday. And boom, I get called up. I had to leave. And I'll never forget the look on her face, because she was, you know, for lack of a better word, was trained the same way. She hardened herself. I hardened myself to prepare myself for what I was going to do. She prepared herself for what she was going to go through. And I couldn't allow myself to imagine or think about what she would be going through, pregnant, going through all by herself. I couldn't allow myself
that. And as you speak, Kimo, I mean, I can just look and I can see the emotion, you know, on in Debbie's eyes, mm-hmm. and on her face. I'm thinking, I wonder how many today. Yeah. We say how many, but it's just coming across, you know, just a one-on-one level. Mm-hmm. One person at a time feeling like they are talking about stuff that I live with in my life, or I've lived in my life, right. And I know exactly what they mean. I know exactly where they are or where they've been. And, you know, God has a way of sending people into our lives. And sometimes he sends them to us. We can actually shake hands with them. We can give them a hug and we can right. look at them. And sometimes he'll send them to the radio waves. And you'll hear their voices. And you'll think to yourself, that's exactly like me. And somehow God, through that, will begin to reveal to you certain things about his love. You might not understand. We can't understand all the little intricate details of how God moves and works. But you begin to feel the love of God. And I'm looking at Debbie and Kimo Piceno. They are messengers of God's love and hope today to someone who is feeling a little disheveled or maybe completely disgruntled. And the Lord is here to help ease some of the pain, put salve over a wound, and begin to administer his healing. And as we come back from our break, we're going to go in a little further and talk about military life and how Christ has made a difference with Kimo and Debbie. And then we're going to talk about family. In fact, this is a part one of a two-part special called Letting Go. And you want to stick with us because of the things that the Lord will begin to reveal to you. When we come back, we'll hear more. Kimo Piceno and Debbie Piceno. Marriage, parenting, family, divorce. Isn't that the final word? Or do people that get divorced actually come back together? Do they actually get married again? And we're not talking just a short divorce. We're talking years and years and years. Well, the story of Kimo and Debbie Piceno. More with them when we come back. Stay with us. Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry?
someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
All we need to do is just think about Memorial Day or Veterans Day. We talk about 4th of July and we talk about sacrifices that people make, sacrifices that families make that we don't even realize what military families make. We don't even realize what they go through unless, of course, you're a part of that that community. But certainly a point where we need to say thank you to all our military servicemen and women and their families. It seems so insignificant to say thank you, but thank you, thank you, thank you a million times over. For what you do, what you have done, and even in this case, what you and your parents, your grandparents, uncles, aunties have done, you know, are we talking wars of the past to give us the kind of life that we live today? And we thank God for you. I'm here with Kimo and Debbie Piseno, and they are sharing their incredible story about God's grace and hope. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arenaga. Welcome. To download the rest of the show, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org.
You said Martin?
Huh? What?
Elder Martin. Hey, put a post-it right here.
Like, label
hey,
you.
Hey, hey, you don't even look Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. This Martin looks Filipino too. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Chad. Pretty soon I'm going to call you Raphael.
Wow.
I forget where I was.
Wait a minute. Who is this Martin guy?
Okay. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canincia. To download this program, send it to a friend, family member, thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Hey, you know, Kimo, as you were, you know, sharing earlier, that, you know, when you were being deployed, you had to put on this tough exterior to prepare your mind. And, you know, as you were being deployed, a lot of military people go through that. And I know at times you can do that where you put on this real hard shell and maybe block Jesus out.
Yes.
But how at times in your life maybe the Lord broke through that hard shell to talk to you?
You know, with just anybody preparing for war or deployment and separating from your spouse, you go through the whole, you know, the ups and downs, emotional roller coaster, and all the while, because the love is there. Mm. But at the same time, you're thinking about what you have to do when you go away. You're thinking about your spouse, what they have to go through while you're away.
Wow.
And all in that preparation, you start adding layer upon layer, and it's a form of self-protection. And all the while, what you're doing is separating yourself from your spouse, not even really knowing that you're doing it. Mm. And then somewhere in the back of my mind, I used to think, oh, good, because you know what? She may be angry with me, but it will help her. It will help her to survive. It's a survival mechanism.
Mm, that's
too.
Right. Yeah.
But I look back at the times where Christ intervened, where he wanted to reach me and speak to me. On several occasions, and I understood it to be him most of the time. There's times in retrospect, it took me years later to realize that it was God. Whether it was in dreams and visions where he spoke to me several times, or what have you. But nevertheless, I used the Lord in that moment, and then I'd walk away. You know, the whole, you know, genie in the bottle type thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And never really truly developed my relationship with him. And should I had early on in life, early on in my marriage, it could have saved us a lot of grief. But that's why we're here today.
Right.
You know, because I know there's a lot of people out there going through this time and time again.
Right.
When I see on the news the people deploying, my heart goes out to them and I cry. I cry because I know what they're going through.
Yeah, sure.
It's and when nobody else understands it but those that have served. And I have served, my wife has served, and we understand. And our hearts go out to you, you know, and we pray for those that are away in the family. The children, people tend to forget that the children are highly affected by this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And you know, what better way than to stay under the covering and protection of God?
You know, you said, Kimo, that when you at times you would think about your kids and your boys, you know, and thinking of Debbie, those moments, did it drive you to a place where you really just humbled yourself to God? And, you know, because sometimes people are going through things like that, and when they think about their family in a way, I can only imagine that those moments you feel vulnerable. And did it really cause you to cry out to God?
Yes, if we go back to the Gulf prior to Kaipo being born, we're out in the middle of the desert, just near the DMZ. And I had prayed like I did every night. And this particular night, a lot of things was done in night operations. And this night, we had a night off where I got to really open up to the Lord and pray. Mm-hmm. I went to sleep, and I had this vision of this baby boy. And we did not know his gender at the time. And just seeing his face and so forth, and I was amazed. And I walked a little ways out in the desert, and I prayed to the Lord. And I said, what are you telling me, Lord? Am I going to have a boy? And a falling star fell right in front of me. It was just the most amazing thing. The skies there in the desert are the most beautiful skies ever in the world. Day comes open, and there's nothing there, no growth, nothing. And I know that there was a Lord breaking into me, wanting time with me. And that's when I began to just open up to the Lord and believe and hope that there'd be a chance for me to come home someday and be able to raise a family, you know. And so from that moment on, I'd write letters home to Debbie and my son. And lo and behold, we had a baby boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Debbie, what about, let's carry this on about the shell.
Right.
How did that relate with you?
Well, of course, at first I wasn't sure why he would react or respond to, you know, him getting ready to deploy and me saying, oh, what do I got to do with this? Do I have to mow the lawn? I mean, you know, all the details of everything he normally does when he's home, I realize I now have to do. And you get to a point where I'm like, you get mad at him. And I think at one point he finally shared with me, well, I do that, so then you'll be mad at me by the time I need to go. So you won't miss me. You'll actually want me to go.
Wow.
And I used to be like, what? You know?
Yeah.
Okay, but, and you do that. And you just build up this callous, you know, exterior that you get to a point where you're like, okay, I got it. So the issue I know comes up with deployment because they, you know, go away for 6 months and then they're home. Sometimes they get to come home in a three-month leave. But you get so used to doing everything. So when your spouse comes home from deployment, it's like, whoa, no, I don't do it like that. This is how I do it. So you go through this relearning process time and time again, every time they go away on training or, you know, deployment. And I think Kimo even shared with me that, you know, they're, I don't know who talks to them about it too, that, you know, when you come home, you got to realize your spouse has been doing all this without you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't come, you know, home and just think you're going to, you know, just pick it up where it left off. You have to relearn how you guys are going to work through this. And I think the scariest one for me was when he went off to war, because I did not know when he was going to come home. Wow. And that is, you know, that's definitely been my turning point.
Your turning point in what way?
Leaning on the Lord. Leaning on the Lord and knowing that he has me. He has, you know, my son. He had chemo. Because the one amazing thing that did happen, and I'm not even sure how it got started, you know, because the local news around here was featuring, I think they went out to the desert and they met Kemal. So then they contacted me when they got back, found out, you know, I was in the Air National Guard, and I think they had this other spouse that she, you know, wasn't being told she was going to be deployed, but was, you know, asked that theoretical question, if you're called to go, are you going to go? And she said no. And they asked me that, and I said, well, yes, I'm the one that signed up for this. If I have to go, I have to go. But what was amazing, they took pictures of Kemal, and, you know, they did a story on him, and they brought back pictures for me of him in the desert. So then they had a few newspaper clippings of, you know, pictures of me and Kaipo, and then, you know, had pictures of Kemal in the paper, and I just thought that was really neat.
That's awesome, you know, just to, you know, as you thinking about it and how the Lord start working opportunities where you, you know, to have that article come out on you, yeah?
Right.
Wow. So, you know, in those moments, because I'm sure a lot of wives go through that when their husband's being deployed. I mean, you know, you said that it was a turning point where you really start turning to God and trusting in God. I mean, what would you say to encourage maybe some women that are going through that right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, one, definitely reach out to, you know, fellow wives, and especially if you're living on a base. I know they have programs and, you know, support groups, but find a home church, you know, and of course I'll speak up for Grace Bible Pearlside because, you know, they have a wonderful support group there. Grace Groups is where you really get to talk with others that, you know, and even if they're not going through what you're going through, but what you share can touch someone else. And I have to admit, that's what's been so amazing for me personally is, you know, just us recently sharing our story. I was nervous about it. I was hesitant about it. But ever since we first did, it's been a flourish of, you know, just other people coming up to me, telling me, you know, what it did for them, what they're going through right now. And so there's always somebody else out there that's going through what you've gone through. And if you can express and tell them, you know, how you went through it, it gives them hope and realize that it can be done, you know. And so just reach out to your sisters in Christ, you know, reach out for prayer.
You know, there is a need for us to make sure we don't disconnect with the reality of the need for God in all aspects of life as you speak to women. And Kemal, when we come back from our break, I'd like for you to talk with us a little bit about post-traumatic stress disorder. I think that that's a huge subject, but I think it's very personal on an individual level, and it's huge. So when we come back from our break, a word from Kemal, and more than a word, maybe just a point of reflection, a point of relatability, a point of connection, post-traumatic stress disorder. This is part one of a two-part series. It's entitled Letting Go, because Kemal and Debbie Pisano learn to let go of the things that they wanted to control or thought they had control over. And they made a decision to let the Lord Jesus Christ control their lives. And he's done marvelous things. He can do it for you too. So stay with us. They'll tell us about it when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
One of the most beautiful things I love about talk radio is that that's just what it is. You know, we just sit down, we talk story. We go heart to heart, and part of it too is you never know what's going to come out. You never know how it's going to come out, but that's the beauty of it. It's just life on life. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Alfredo Canencia, and our featured guest today, Kimo and Debbie Piceno. Kimo was a member of the United States Marines Special Forces. He was recruited out of high school by the University of Southern California to play football. When you look at him, you see he still looks like he can put out. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's a strapping man. His dear wife, Debbie, she's a IT systems analyst for Chevron. And they have four boys, Kaipo, Keone, Kaika, and Kaleo. This is part one of a two-part series with Kimo and Debbie. And we're talking about their life in the military and how Christ worked in and through them during that time. You know, Kimo, before our break, we were talking about something that many military men and women go through. And it's post-traumatic stress disorder, especially with the lengthy war and wars that we have been involved in. You were in war. How has it affected you?
Well, it led to divorce. When I came home from the Gulf, I was due to get out of the Marine Corps. I was going to be a career Marine. You know, I left Special Forces to marry Debbie, and I left the Marine Corps to start a family. I didn't want to put my family and my children through the rough lifestyle that is asked of a military family. So I had left. And I abruptly left because as soon as I came home from war, I was past my release date. And so they let me go. I had no training. I had no help with having come back from war, and the military is outstanding in having those programs for their people. But I was kind of bullheaded and thought, I don't need them anyway. I'm getting out. And I was just very self-driven. As soon as I got out of the Marine Corps, 3 days later, I was working construction. I wanted to start work right away. I wanted to do things. How long did I do that? A couple of years, and then I was in the California Department of Corrections. It didn't take long. I was a firm believer in that. I don't need vacation. I need to work. I need to work, 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 work. And I wasn't working on myself. I didn't seek help. And I imploded. Those things happened. You know, I was self-medicating myself, if you will. I was looking for ways to deal with it myself. I was very self-disciplined, very analytical. and I would go through a series of standards, a list I've made up of myself. How am I doing as a father? How am I doing as a husband? You know, and just go down this checklist every day and so forth. And okay, I'm doing great. And in the military, you know, you're trained to respond immediately to orders. And I expected my life and my family, my children, to do the same. I started looking at things like, okay, well, I've done all these. I've sacrificed so much for my family to put you in the home that you're living in, to give you all the toys and all the wonderful things you have. You know, I've worked so hard for you, and at no time did I take a break. You know, I had so much leave accumulated on the books. It was what, 2.5 months or something. Because I never took a vacation, even in the Marine Corps. Very little. One time. That was it. And I prided on myself. I can handle. I can just keep going. Mm. But you can't. You cannot live like that. You cannot live going all out, burning the candle at both ends. I prided myself on doing that. That in the Department of Corrections, I had so many investigations on my plate. And I didn't care. Because, you know, I would... As soon as I finished one, I'd put another one on or a couple more on. And the burden was so heavy. And I never truly gave it to the Lord. I just took it upon myself. And so going back to post-traumatic stress disorder, it lingered back there. And it would rear its ugly head. Mm-hmm. And it was always cast as, in the moment kind of thing, but never truly addressed. And I did have to address it, though, once Debbie left. And it was through counseling and, most importantly, through the Lord. The Lord put me in a place where I had to deal with it. I didn't have my family any longer.
So this is what you described as imploding.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the implosion. Mm-hmm. That took place.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that there are many implosions, mm-hmm, that are taking place from men and women that come back, that see things that the human human being was not made to see, to go through stresses that people are not meant to go through. How did you see these signs of implosion?
Well, it's a cry out. I know that you want people to understand you. My pride was that I knew that they couldn't understand me. Those that would, I thought it was very patronizing for somebody to thank me. I never was one to want to be in a parade thanking me for serving my country, because that's what I wanted to do. You know, I would have done it for free. But and I know there's a lot of servicemen that feel the same way, that truly do it, not for the money, not for any of the accolades, but that they truly love serving their country. But there comes this time when these things start attacking you. The imagery of warfare, the fog of war, all the things that encompass war, combat, just a military life in general. And I realized I had been crying out in some way to my wife, but never truly finding an outlet to really explain to her what's going on. And then possibly having a mediator to help me bring that out in a manner that where she can understand, and where I can bring it out in a manner where I feel that I have totally depleted it and got it all out of me.
Well, Kimo, you and Debbie, through that process, like you said, in the implosion, you ended up getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But God worked with you in that process. And that's why this is just part one of that two-part special. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about the divorce and the implosion in more detail, what it did to your family, and also how the Lord brought you back together. Somebody today is listening and they're thinking, oh, maybe there's some hope for me. I want you, as we close this show, to invite someone to listen in. This is the Good Life Hawaii radio show. And you can get this show at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guests, Kimo and Debbie Piseno. Until next time, I'm Danny Amashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.